The book of Numbers, Numbers chapter 27, Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Numbers 27, verse 1, then came the daughters of Zelophehad, the son of Hepher, the son of Gilead, the son of Machir, the son of Manasseh, of the families of Manasseh, the son of Joseph. And these are the names of his daughters: Mahla, Noha, Hagla, and Milcah, and Tirzah. Verse 2, and they stood before Moses, and before Eleazar the priest, and before the princes and all the congregation by the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, saying, our father died in the wilderness, and he was not in the company of them that gathered themselves together against the Lord in the company of Korah, but died in his own sin and had no sons. Why should the name of our father be done away from among his family? Because he has no son. Give to us, therefore, a possession among the brethren of our father. And Moses brought their cause before the Lord, because Moses was stumped, and he didn't presume to know the answer. From the law that God gave him, it seemed very clear that the boys in the family were the ones who received the inheritance. It was understood that they would take care of any unmarried sisters, but the daughters didn't receive an inheritance, not according to the word of God. But here there's a problem. Zelophehad died. He never had a son, just these daughters. And they want to know what's going to happen to their father's name and his inheritance. 6. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, the daughters of Zelophehad speak right. You shall surely give them a possession of an inheritance among their father's brethren, and you shall cause the inheritance of their father to pass to them. I don't think people have any idea just what a liberal idea this was for that day. God was pretty radical when it came to granting women rights, because it was the custom of all nations back then to treat women like nothing, just chattel. But the Lord said these women have rights. Not only will they receive property to live on, but they will be able to transfer it to their heirs as well. Verse 8, and you shall speak to the children of Israel, saying, if a man die and have no son, then you shall cause his inheritance to pass to his daughter. And if he have no daughter, then you shall give his inheritance to his brethren. And he have no brethren, then you shall give his inheritance to his father's brethren. Verse 11, and if his father have no brethren, then you shall give his inheritance to his kinsman that is next to him of his family, and he shall possess it. And it shall be to the children of Israel a statute of judgment, as the Lord commanded Moses. Well, look at the outcome of the question that came from those ladies. They, by faith, asked for a change in the way women were treated. And God not only granted their request, but he used it as an occasion to establish a new law. You know, God is always ready to bless us spiritually. And I believe many times he would like to bless us materially as well. But sometimes we cheat ourselves out of those blessings because, unlike these daughters, we do not ask. The Bible says, ask and you shall receive. The Bible says, we have not because we ask not. We need to ask for material blessings, and we need to claim our spiritual blessings in Christ. 12. And the Lord said to Moses, get you up into this Mount Abiram and see the land which I have given to the children of Israel. And when you have seen it, you also shall be gathered to your people as Aaron your brother was gathered. For you rebelled against my commandment in the desert of Zin, in the strife of the congregation, to sanctify me at the water before their eyes, that is, the water of Meribah and Kadesh in the wilderness of Zin. And what a sad situation this is, although it is God's justice. What a warning this is for us. The Bible says it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God, and Moses was a good, faithful, and meek servant of God for many, many years. But he lost control, and he disobeyed God. Remember, God said, speak to the rock, and I will cause water to come out. Moses hit the rock twice. And consequently, for his disobedience, he's only allowed to look at the promised land. He will not enter it. It's sobering. But we should learn a lesson from it, because I wonder how often we rob ourselves of joy and good things through unbelief and disobedience. 15, and Moses spoke to the Lord, saying, let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation, which may go out before them, and which may go in before them, and which may lead them out, and which may bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord be not as a sheep which has no shepherd. Here's a man of God, right here. And while it's true that Moses was not perfect, you see right here that he took his punishment like a man. He didn't accuse God of being unfair. He didn't blame the people for giving him a hard time and pushing him beyond his limits. He doesn't even focus on his own punishment. Instead, he loses himself in his concern for others. He's concerned that the people not be left without a shepherd. 18. And the Lord said to Moses, take you Joshua the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay your hand upon him, and set him before Eleazar the priest, and before all the congregation, and give him a charge in their sight. And you shall put some of your honor upon him, that all the congregation of the children of Israel may be obedient. And he shall stand before Eleazar the priest, who shall ask counsel for him after the judgment of Urim before the Lord. At his word they shall go out, and at his word they shall come in, both he and all the children of Israel with him, even all the congregation. Moses is going to be a tough act to follow. I wouldn't envy anyone who had the task of replacing him. But God chose Joshua. And nowhere does the Bible say that Joshua was an extraordinary man either. He was just an average guy, with one exception. He was indwelt by the Holy Spirit, and as a result, he had proven spiritual character. He was one of only two men who believed God at Kadesh and said, we can go in and take the land because God has said so. He believed the word of God, so he was qualified for this job because of his faith in God's word. 22. And Moses did as the Lord commanded him, and he took Joshua and set him before Eleazar the priest and before all the congregation, and he laid his hands upon him and gave him a charge as the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses. So, again, Moses follows God's command perfectly. it's just too bad that he didn't do that back in chapter 20, because if he had, he would be entering the land instead of transferring the authority to Joshua. But some of the things we do cannot be reversed.